If I were to ask you, where is your faith at tonight, at this very moment, what would your answer be? Would it be great, strong as ever? Would it be pretty good, needs a little help? Or how about, okay, need a lot of help? Or worse, would it be, I'm not doing good at all, I need a lot of help, I'm really struggling? It seems to me, and it's just my opinion, but it seems to me that in recent years, far too many Christians have drifted from their faith. Or even worse, have lost it. And, you know, when someone loses their faith, it can be discouraging. It can be disheartening. It can shake the faith of those who are still trying to serve God. And I think the other thing it does is it causes us to ask the question we just asked. Where am I in my faith? Where do I stand with God? Look, I went too far. Tonight, I want to talk about faith. I want to talk, I entitled my lesson, Growing or Drifting. Because it can only be one or the other. We're either growing in our faith or we're drifting away. Just as an aside, I got this material, this outline, from Mark Copeland's website, Executable Outlines. For those of you that are inexperienced at preaching like me, I highly recommend this website. There's a lot of information there for you to use. The scriptures have a lot to say about both of these two words, growing and drifting, spiritual growth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, Peter writes, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. As Christians, we understand this concept of growing. We understand that the walk, the race that we are in, is a growing process. It's something that we're to work at. It's something that we are to continually do, continue to add and grow to our faith. The scriptures, however, have a lot to say also about drifting, or backsliding, if you want to call it. Jesus himself said in Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 62, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There's a stern warning there from our Savior. And a very well-known passage in Hebrews. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. You know, the danger of drifting is real. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any need to warn us of it. And really, the danger is for all Christians, whether you're a new babe in Christ or you've been serving the Lord for 40 years. This is a threat that could come upon any one of us. So what I'd like to do tonight is focus on the latter half. I want to focus on drifting. What I'd like to do tonight, hopefully, is help us to recognize some common signs of drifting from our faith and also some remedies against it. I think before we begin, there are some things that we should know about drifting. Number one, I think drifting requires no effort. And when you think about it, if you've ever been out in a boat or a canoe, maybe on fishing or whatever, when you stop the boat or you stop paddling, what happens? You drift. You float. And the same is true for the Christian. When we stop doing things that lead us to spiritual growth, then we begin to drift. And this is how dangerous drifting can be. You see, it requires no effort at all. It's not like there's a checklist of things that you have to do and then you say, oh, I'm in a drifting condition. It's when we stop, it's actually the opposite. It's when we stop doing things that help us grow, that's when we begin to drift. The other thing that is very dangerous about drifting is it can be an unconscious process. It's possible to drift and not to be aware of it. You know, when you're in that boat or that canoe, sometimes the surface of the water is calm, but there are undercurrents that can pull your boat and make you drift. Same thing as when you're flying in a plane. The wind, or I guess the gravitational forces, can move that plane and you won't even feel it. And so it's true in the spiritual realm. There are many Christians who have slowly drifted away and they were unconscious of it. They were not aware of it. And really, I think this is how the devil wants it. He doesn't want you to just turn on your faith overnight. He wants it to be a slow and unnoticeable process. And I think that's why he's referred to as the serpent. He's very sneaky in that way. I think the same is true with many churches. There are many churches that have gradually drifted into error, only to find themselves one day far removed from the scriptures. And so this, again, is why drifting can be dangerous. Because we might not even know it. It could be so slow and unnoticeable that we don't realize it. Thirdly, we'd never drift upstream against the tide. I don't think that's possible. When you stop paddling your canoe, if you were on the river and you stop paddling your canoe, you're going to drift downstream. And so faithfulness to the Lord is like paddling upstream. We often sing songs like, I want to be a worker for the Lord, or to the work. We sing songs like that. And so we understand that faithfulness to the Lord it involves work. Oops, I went too far. Peter reiterates this point in 2 Peter chapter 1. When he describes what Christians should be doing and adding to their faith. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must continue to grow. We must continue to grow and to add to our faith, to add to our love. The point is, the moment we stop growing, that's the moment when we start going backwards. The other danger about drifting is, as you drift downstream, the speed increases. As you further go downstream, you are drifting at a higher speed. If you can hear the sound of the waterfall, then it's already too late. To make the spiritual application, as we move further and further away from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. I mentioned on the previous point that drifting can be a slow process, but at some point, it can pick up speed. We can harden our hearts to sin. You know, when you first commit sin, it might sear your conscience. And you might say, I don't want to do that again. But if we continue to sin, at some point, we harden our hearts. And as I just pointed out, we drift further and further from the Lord, and we care less about what we're doing. I think the other thing is that it's dangerous to others. You know, when a ship is just drifting on its own, it's a hazard to all vessels out at sea. And it's the same in as Christians, as I already pointed out. When someone is drifting, or when they have lost their faith, it can be a stumbling block for others who are still trying to be faithful to God. I think also, too, a good point to make is parents. You know, those of us who have children, if we as parents are drifting, if we're in a drifting condition, then we will lose golden opportunities to teach our children. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, to bring our children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. But if we ourselves aren't faithful, if we are drifting, then we will lose these opportunities to teach our children. Finally, something else we should know about drifting is the end. The end is shipwreck, destruction. A boat adrift will either crash on the rocks or go over the falls. And for those of us who are spiritually adrift, through our own neglect, there will be no escape from just punishment. And we can read this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. I'm going to read that to you out of the Revised Standard Version. I just happen to like the translation. This is really probably the main text for the lesson. Hebrews 2, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, we must pay the closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the message declared by angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him. And I like what the writer says here in the first verse, that we must pay the closer attention. The idea here is, whatever level of attention we are giving, we've got to pay even more. We've got to pay even closer attention, lest we drift away. And so the end result will be destruction. So the danger of drifting is real, and something that we need to think about and consider. Okay, I'd like to cover some common signs of drifting, and I hope that this will be a big help to all of us. First, if someone displays a diminishing desire to study God's Word and pray. You know, the Bible is a unique book. It's a source of information not found anywhere else. When you think about it, without God's revelation, how could we truly know our origin, our purpose, or our destiny? The Scriptures tell us of sin's consequences, and it also tells us how God saves us from sin. This book is special. It's unique. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Read with me what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I think that the Word also provides a direction for us for living a happy and useful life. And I think that's important. So when one loses their desire to study God's Word, then I would say that they are in a drifting condition. Also, prayer. Prayer is a wonderful blessing. It's an avenue to communicate with God through our Savior Jesus Christ, who, when he was here on earth, prayed often. He is the master example of prayer. And so we ought to pray as much as we can. But when we pray less and less and less, until the point where our prayer life is non-existent, then we are drifting even more. Secondly, a diminishing desire to be with God's people. And this includes attending services to worship God. It's important to come to worship and to encourage one another. We should always have the attitude of the psalmist, who says in Psalms 122:1, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" That should be our attitude. We should be glad to come and to worship God. And as I mentioned, it's important to edify one another and encourage each other. So fellowship with God's people is also very important. We often spend time with one another following services or during the week. I've been spending some time the last couple weeks with Randy. He's been helping me do drywall at my house, and I've enjoyed it. We've, you know, made fun of each other, mostly me, but we've had some good times, and I got to spend time with Randy, and it was good time. It was encouraging, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the time that we have. I told him I might include him in my lesson tonight. So it's fellowship with one another. It's important. But when a Christian prefers the fellowship of people of the world rather than his fellow Christians, then he is drifting all the more. I think thirdly, when one displays a diminishing desire to share the gospel. You know, when you first obey Jesus Christ, it's a very happy day. And you want to tell everybody. We can read of so many examples of those who were healed by Jesus, and he forgave them from their sins, and they went on rejoicing, and they couldn't keep their mouth shut about it. And when someone obeys the gospel, that's what it's like. You want to tell everybody about Jesus. But when a Christian no longer has that desire to take the message of salvation to the lost, then he's drifting all the more. I think fourthly, and Kurt did a great job talking about this morning in his lesson about the rich young ruler. He described in detail about if our desire is for earthly things, they will overcome our desire for heaven. The rich young ruler couldn't pass up the treasures that he had for the treasures of heaven. So if we have an increasing thrill, as I write on here, over the things of the world, that's a sign of that we are drifting. The Apostle John warns us against the love of the world and the things of the world. In 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15 through 17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So if we reach the point where we find more pleasure in worldly activity than meeting with others to worship God, then we are definitely spiritually adrift. If our attachment is to earthly things, like Kurt was pointing out this morning, it will hinder us from our desire to want to go to heaven. Okay, so those were some signs that I thought were important to go over. Now I'd like to talk about some remedies. If some of the things we talked about sound familiar to you, then it might not be an easy task to get back. But I hope that going over some of these remedies, this will be your help. I think, first of all, it's important to keep using the boat analogy. You got to keep rowing. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence. We already looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, where Paul noted earlier that we are to diligently add these virtues to our faith. So we have to keep working at it. The worst thing you can do is to quit. If you just start paddling, you're just going to float and drift even more. So I think it's important to keep rowing, to keep working, to keep fighting. There is no place, I think the other point I want to make, is it doesn't matter how long you've been serving the Lord. There is no place for retirement in the life of a Christian. I've been a Christian now for 20 years, but if I were to just stop at age 50, or 8:40, then I didn't make it. I didn't finish. I didn't go the whole distance. I wanted to read to you Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says. He displays the attitude of pressing on. There we go. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 15. Listen to what Paul says. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I am convinced that Paul never stopped serving God. And this is how we need to learn from Paul. This is how we need to live. Secondly, watch out for undercurrents. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 that we have a fleshly nature which wages war against our soul. He says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." So we have this fleshly nature, and it's a war against our soul, and we have to be on guard for the undercurrent of temptation. As we mentioned earlier, sometimes the surface of the water may appear calm, but there are undercurrents that can pull your boat. And so it's the same for us in our faith. Things may seem okay, things may seem calm, but there may be something there pulling us that we have to watch out for. Thirdly, go against the tide. Go upstream. You know, from our youth, we are always facing tides that can sweep us away. When we go to school, we face peer pressure, popularity, and in school, I guess particularly in college, we face doctrines of humanism and modernism. In our religious society, we face denominationalism. There are all kinds of false doctrines. And even in the church, we face liberalism and worldliness. And all these things we must fight against and go against. If one drifts along with the majority, he will certainly be lost. And I think that's one of the points that Jesus makes when he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many are there that find it. Fourthly, we must have a strong anchorage. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So we are to be rooted in Christ, we are to be grounded in Christ, we are to be established in our faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 18 through 19. Actually, it's just verse 19. "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." And we often sing that song, "We Have an Anchor," and it's based off of this passage. So we have to possess this unshakable hope that the writer of Hebrews describes here, and anchor our soul. If we have a strong anchorage, then we can fight against the tide. We can fight against the drift. And lastly, use spiritual checkpoints. As we've already discussed as Christians, we are always to be growing, to be adding to our faith. And I think it's important that we set goals for ourselves. Whether we're a new Christian or have been a Christian for 30 years, we should set goals for ourselves and use checkpoints, use spiritual checkpoints to see how we're doing. When I was younger, I ran for my high school team for track cross country, and I even ran some road races. And the thing with, in road races, there's always checkpoints set up. They usually put them on the mile markers. But when you're running a race, you have a goal in mind. I want to be at this time at the end of the race. This is where I want to be. And as you're running the race, you use the checkpoints to get you there. You use the checkpoints to see where, okay, at mile one, I want to be here. At mile two, I want to be here. And so my point is, spiritually, we can do the same thing. We can set goals. Okay, this is where I want to be in 6 months. This is where I want to be in 1 year. This is where, and on and on. You can use these checkpoints once a year, twice a year, once a month, twice a month, whatever. The point is, if we do this, it'll help us to grow. If we have goals in mind, goals to achieve, it will help us. Doing really well on time here. Every time I preach a lesson, I make a specific goal for myself. And this time I said, I want to slow down. No, this was my goal tonight. I said, I want to slow down. You know, I have a tendency to speak really fast and to go right through. And sometimes it's probably hard as an audience to grab the information. So I said, I want to slow down. And I hope I did that tonight. As I pointed out earlier, it seems that many have drifted from their faith. They've drifted from the Lord. They've drifted from the treasure and the reward of heaven. And we would be arrogant to say that it could not happen to us. The danger of drifting is a real threat. The Bible warns us of it, and it's something that we have to consider. And I think that we covered some recognizable signs, some things that will tell us that we're not doing so well. And so I ask you tonight, are there signs of drifting in your life? Is your desire to study God's Word and to pray to God diminished? Is your desire to be here with God's people, to spend time with God's people, has that changed in any way? Have you lost the desire to talk to people about Jesus? Are you too attached to the things of this world? Well, I hope that you will honestly ask yourself these questions and answer them. I think the final point I wanted to make is that, as I point out, drifting is a danger to all Christians, but it seems to be more so for younger people. And I think the reason why is, when you're younger, you deceive yourself in thinking that there's time. I have time to get back in my boat and paddle back to where I'm supposed to be. But first, I have to do these things. I have this checklist of things I want to do in life. And I think we deceive ourselves. Satan deceives us that way when we're young. But again, it's the danger of drifting is for everybody. But I just wanted to make that point. Again, where is your faith at today? Where do you stand before God? And are you in a condition that we just talked about tonight? Are you in a drifting condition? If so, I forgot to put that up. I urge you to listen to the words of the Hebrew writer when he said, therefore we must pay the closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the message declared by the angels was valid and every transgression or disobedience received just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Don't throw your salvation away for anything here on earth. If you're subject to the gospel call, I would ask you to please come forward as we stand and sing.